gotta get better.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
I want to kind of concentrate on studying the book of Revelations, or the revelation of Jesus Christ. And hopefully you're patient enough that you won't get tired in the study. Amen. So that we can understand what's been revealed, what's been said, and we can look at things from today's perspective, because there's a whole lot of stuff going on. Things are happening at a fast rate, things that is totally out of our control, so we got to know that God is in control. And that's one thing that this book can do for us, is to assure us that in spite of what we see and in spite of what's happening all around us and even happening to us, that God is in control. Amen. Amen. So we want to go, you can turn your Bibles there, but while we talk about this book, you know, we're going to study it to understand, as it may be entitled, I don't know what it may be entitled in your Bible. Some people say it's the revelation of John, and some Bibles may say that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which that's exactly what it is. It reveals about Jesus and you know, what about Jesus? Everything. It reveals some things that happened in the past, present, and future. It is a book that, this book is a book that you can interpret and receive practically for practical understanding and use. You can receive this book prophetically, because it does give a prophetic flavor, because it foretells and it foretells. And you can look at this book personally, because it helps you to understand where we are and where you are in this whole scene of what's going on right now. Amen? Amen. And so when you read it, it kind of goes in a way back and forth, because it switches. It shows you stuff that has happened already, and stuff that is happening then at that time John wrote it, and stuff that is about to happen or going to happen. So when we look at the book, it really gives a good understanding of what we need to understand as Christians, and what we need to hold true to. The book of Revelation, the word revelation itself, the word revelation comes from the Greek word apocalypsis, where we get the word, when we talk about end time events, we talk about the apocalypse. Well, what does that have to do with it? It means, what it really means, apocalypsis really means to uncover or to unveil. So what Jesus did was he gave a message to John to give to the churches, to us, to unveil things that had happened, to unveil things that are happening at that time, and to unveil the things that were to come. Right? Now, when we talk about, you know, think about this. When we talk about the book of Revelations, it is, we can call it a history lesson sometime, because it'll tell us some things. But when you really talk about God, nothing really is just past, because all things in him exist as it is. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Because like your loved ones, when they die, they are not in the past in God. They exist presently. All right? So really, Revelation, and when we talk about history, people can write history the way they want. We find it out in America that this history that we have in our schools are what? Whitewashed. Right? And they can write history how they want. And they always say that's his story. Right? That's his story. Right? But when you start talking about the things of God, it's not about history, it's about mystery. Right? So God, as the older people would say, he moves in mysterious ways. In other words, I don't see how he was going to do it. I didn't see that he was going to do that. He was mysterious in his movements, but he revealed it to me. And when he revealed it to me, I could say, wow, it was a mystery until I saw what God meant. Amen? All right. And so When we begin to talk about the book of Revelation, we first, you know, we got to understand that, as I said, this book is practical, prophetic, and personal. John talks about these things, and as we begin to talk and look at it, let's go ahead and read verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, when you read that in itself, you think, well, this is the revelation of what's going to happen. That's what we think about. But this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus himself revealed to John. And it also is showing us that by him all things consist, and for him all things consist, as it says in Colossians, right? And it says, which God gave unto him, showing unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Now notice who he said he's showing these things to. If people read this book, a lot of folks have read it and have no understanding at all. One reason why is because it's not written to them unless you are a servant. And I'm not talking about just somebody that go to church. I'm talking about somebody who's empowered with the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of truth reveals what? Truth to us. So he says this is to the what? Servants, the things which shall shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it with his angel unto his servant John. So why did John get this? Because John loved God. When you love him, he what? Reveals things. Notice what happened in the book of the gospel according to John. Jesus said, one of you I've chosen is the devil. And who was it? John leans over and say, Lord, which one? And Jesus does not hesitate to share with him. He said, the one in whom I give the sop to. Why did he let John know, and he didn't just stop and make an announcement like we would do? It's because John, where did he lay his head? To his chest, to his heart. He was dear to his heart. And so when you love God and God loves you, guess what God does? He does not leave you ignorant. He does not leave you ignorant of the devices of the devil. He does not leave you ignorant of the times that we're living in. He allows you to see those things. And boy, that's good news. Because the Bible tells us also that he'll come as a what? Thief in the night. But when you're a servant of his and you love him and he loves you, he also tells us that, brethren, that they won't overtake you as a thief. Because you'll know you walk in the light. Walking in the light means that things have been revealed to you. Amen? Is that all right? All right, so he says that who bear record, and he sent his angel. He sent a special messenger. He sent a special messenger to spend time with John, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear it, the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Look at that. I look at what John is saying, and it helps us, because John said, blessed are they that what? Read it. And you know, you got people, we always heard, oh, you better stay away from that book of Revelation. We heard that growing up. Because why? They didn't really understand, and it spooked them because of what somebody had said. Because of if you take away or add to or take away from this book of this prophecy, these plagues shall follow. And so all they heard was the plagues. And you know, we got to get out of that. We can't live in our superstition or in our fears, because what happens is people get in fear and they won't do something. But then when you act in faith, then God says, if you read this book, and then you hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things which are written, because the time is at hand. In other words, he also tells us in another version of that, he tells us how we will be blessed if we read and hear this book. So we shouldn't be fearful. We should embrace the word. Amen? We should embrace what God is saying and doing in this. We know that no man know the day nor the hour, but God himself, according to Mark 13 and 32, God himself knows the day and the hour. Amen? And so, when we begin to look at this, he gives it to his servants, but he gives it to us to understand by who? The Holy Ghost. He says in John chapter 14, verse 26, if you're taking notes, John chapter 14, 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall" what? "Teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Right? But then again in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 he says, "But the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." In other words, you can't understand if you walk in the natural. If you're in the flesh, you can't understand these things. But then look, I like this part. He says in Hebrews 5 and 14, "But strong meat belong to them that are of a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So he said that this, he said a strong meat or a deep given word or revelation is given to those who are ready to eat it. We have to be mature enough to be able to accept it. Amen. You know how you know you're mature is when you enjoy the Bible, when you enjoy the word, when you enjoy it. Now, I'm not talking about I'm just going, I need to get me a word so I can, you know, feel better about my condition. Even if my condition doesn't get better and I don't feel any better, I still enjoy the word. Amen. Amen. All right. So we know you got to read it. You got to what? Hear it. Right? And you got to keep those things which are written, because it's not enough just to read it. But the Bible says faith come by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So we must always hear it. And when we hear it, we must keep what he said, because he says that time is what? At hand. At hand. So when we are genuine believers, we don't have the right to ignore what the book of Revelation said. Now, we read every other book. We read Psalms over and over. But how many of us actually pick up the book of Revelations and read it? How many of us actually do that? We don't, because it just seems like it just takes too much for us to understand it. But that's why we got to study. Amen? That's why we got to study tonight. And that's why I'm taking my time to lay this foundation so we can get into the book. Amen? So when I just want to encourage you to read it, because there's some genuine things in there that we need to take heed to and understand. Now, I'm going to go down the list. There are seven blessings or blessed attitudes that come, or like the Beatitudes. We got seven blessings in the book of Revelation. The blessing of obedience, Revelations 1:3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth," right? "And they that hear it, the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written, for the time is at hand." That's the first one. The second one, the blessing of eternal life. He said, "I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, for henceforth, yeah, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." That's Revelations 14 and 13. We got seven of them. All right? You have the blessing of watchfulness and purity, and to be able to watch for the Lord's return with a pure life, living a pure life. Revelation 16 and 15 says, "Behold, I come in as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." All right? There's another blessing, the blessing of being called to the marriage supper, or we used to call it in the old day, the marriage feast of the Lamb. Amen. Revelations 19 and 9. "And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God." All right. The next one is the blessing of the resurrection, or being raised from the dead, and to be living eternally with Christ. Revelations 20 and 6. "Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power. But they shall be priests of God and of his Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Look at that. That's a blessing. That's why we ought to read this. Amen. When he said they shall be priests of God, meaning the word priest means to draw near. In other words, they'll be able to draw near to God without issue, without problem. All right? excuse me. The blessings of of being able to receive from Christ and heeding and understanding the book of Revelation. He says in Revelation 22 and 7, "Behold, I come quickly, and blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy and of this book." Revelation's opened up with a blessing, and guess what? It closes with a blessing. The blessing of keeping all God's commandments. Look at this one in Revelations 22 and 14. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that have the right to the tree of life, that and may enter in through the gates into the city." Amen. Look at all the promises of blessings that God has given us in this one book. And we have been so afraid for so many years to read it because of one spoken curse for those who take away or add to this book. Now, it should be a joy. It should be a joy in reading this book, because look at the blessings. And I'm hoping that as we study it, that while we read it, that God begin to pour out blessings so that we'll see that there's a blessing in this book. Amen? Amen. 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 So, let's go on. Let me read a few scriptures. John, in verse 4, "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, peace from him which is and was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, whom is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." So this book opens up with what? Grace and peace. Grace meaning that he gives us favor, right? Peace meaning that we have peace with God, that we're not at war with him. So we can't be in our flesh. We're not at war with God, all right? We can't be in our carnal mind, because then we're at war with God. So it comes from who? It comes from God, who what? Is. And the scripture tells us in Hebrews that if we come to God, we must believe that he what? Is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek us. So this God, grace and peace come from the God who is, who was, and is to come. So remember what I said, there is no past in God. He said he is, he was, and he is to come. In other words, he operated then, he's operating now, and he will continue to in our future. Amen. That's why he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why he does not change. Why should God change when he has the ability to change us? When he has the ability to change the world? When he has the ability to change us as people, change what we do? Why would he have to change? And that's why I can't understand what some of those really liberal, progressive theologians that say that God changes some things and don't tell us, and we got to catch up with God. God doesn't change. He's the same. Amen. But I like this in verse 5. It says that, you know, Jesus Christ, the King of kings of the earth, and he says, and he had loved us. And he puts that in past. He's always done that. From the very beginning, he what? Loved us. And look, from the very beginning, he what? Washed us of our sins in his own blood. In his own blood. Jesus is my laundry man. He cleans me up. Amen. 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 And so when we talk about this, John also says that the time is at hand, and some people thought, oh, you know, that it's going to happen right then. Now, from the day that Jesus spoke in Matthew 24, when he spoke those words that in the last days, perilous times shall come and things like that, when Jesus began to talk about those days, guess what? Those days began. He said, know that these things are going to happen. He said, but notice that we're at the what? Door. Those days begin. And so when we start trying to measure how much time, I don't know if you all remember, if you even looked into this, but that the movement of the Jehovah Witness came out of a movement that this guy, he predicted when Jesus was going to come back. And he predicted it in the 1800s. I forgot what date it was. He got it down to the date and predicted it. And these people sold all this stuff and they got ready to go, and he didn't come. So the next time he said, oh, I didn't account for the zero. And, you know, he went through some other stuff. And then he said, this is the day that he's going to come. Those other people that they recruited all those years, they sat around, they went and sold everything they had, and they waited. And guess what? He didn't come. So they started changing up their doctrine a little bit, and then they begin to call what he taught the watchtower. And that's the thing that they want to sell you and give to you when they come to visit you. That's the watchtower. And if the watchtower has been wrong since then, why would I believe that the watchtower is going to be right today? But we can't, the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour, so we can't determine when he's going to come, right? Now, what I do know is that that when you look at, I believe, let's go and let's just for sake of laying this foundation, and that might be all we do tonight, but we're gonna get something out of it, amen. I think we already got something out of it. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's start at verse 3. It says this: knowing this first. Knowing this first. We need to know this first at the beginning. There shall come. Do y'all have it? All right. There shall come in the last days. Look at that. Scoffers. What's that? That means false teachers, mockers. They really don't. They really not preaching. They dare to mock. You saw that show they had that I'm glad they canceled it. Preached with them women on that call themselves prophetesses, and they are mockers. This stuff is not real. They are mockers, right? You got to be careful, because not only do you have those mockers on TV, do you know you got them in the community where we live? And I hate to think about that, because I know them, and they probably scoffers. Is that I'm serious. I know them, and they're probably scoffers. They're probably mockers. They're probably just doing it. God didn't call them, but they're doing it as a distraction. All right. Walking after their what? Own lust. They have a desire. What is that? That lust. You know, we think about, when people talk about lust, they think lust is just when somebody lusting for a person. No, lust is far. That's the least of lust. That's the simplicity of lust. Lust is for power. Lust is for money. Lust is for whatever. But basically, what he's saying is that they long for or they desire certain things. And so they walk after what they desire, not what God desires. They walk after fame and fortune and whatever. You know, I often say, if God didn't call me to this, I wouldn't do it. I would come to church, but I wouldn't do this. It's just, it's almost, and I'm speaking in my flesh, it's almost too much for a human being to take on the task and to try to do the right thing all the time, right? But when you're called, you have no, he don't give you an option. I laugh when people tell me, boy, I'm just tired of running. I've been running a long time. You know what? He ain't giving me the option. He had me thinking I was going one way, but he knew right when he would get me. He knew where I'd be the time when I'd make up my mind. You know that? Nothing surprises God. All right. He says in verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? So in the last days, look at this. We got people right now. They are mockers. They are scoffers. And they walk up to their own lust. And guess what they say? Where is the promise of his coming? They're questioning whether or not Jesus is going to actually come. You'll hear people today talking about, ain't nobody coming. Y'all Christians can keep looking around. Ain't nobody coming. I mean, they had one guy. He was trying to tell me. He said that white people gave black people Christianity. In America, they gave us Christianity to control us and keep us in slavery, because they knew that we'd be enslaved and we'd stay slaves. I said, do you know, we was Muslims, he said, when we came over the water. I said, well, do you know that almost 400 years before Muhammad was born, there was a whole Ethiopian empire that was Christian? Did you know that Ghana was Christian, that whole territory before it was called that was Christian? Did you know that? Oh no, how you know? I said, because, I said, the Bible even tells you in the book of Acts that the Ethiopian eunuch went home and he preached this word, the word that Philip gave him. And they all turned, and this today, Ethiopia is still the Christian country, the largest Christian country in the continent of Africa. But but they play on the minds of young people who don't know. All right. So he says, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They're telling us that, oh, this world is just going to keep on turning just like it is. Since the fathers fell asleep all those years, they've been prophesying of his coming. It ain't going to happen. That's what they're saying, that the sun's going to go down, the moon's going to come up, and the world is going to keep on turning. But I want to ask you, why are they looking to find life on Mars? Because they know one day this world ain't going to turn like they think. They don't know what's going to happen because it's veiled from them, but they know something is going to happen. They're planning to get away. Yeah, it's already there. So verse 5 says, for this they willingly are ignorant. Ooh, willing, that's the word. Willingly ignorant. They don't want to know. They don't want to know what you think. They don't want to know how you feel about it. They really want to try to, you know, they ask you that loaded question, well, what you think about it? They know you're going to give a Christian answer. And they don't really want to know what you think. They want to attack your Christianity. All right? They're willingly ignorant. Now, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Why? For lack of knowledge. Not because they don't have the opportunity to know. It's because they willingly omit, they willingly disregard, and they don't want to know. Right? And he says, but, he says, ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and that the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. They don't know that the world already that was here was perished as God commanded. He said, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are what? Kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Then he says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Now I'm going somewhere with that, because when we start talking about the days and how I'm not telling you that, you know, because I know there's a great debate amongst theologians whether God created in 6 days, like the sun up one day and then down that evening and the moon comes up, or did God create it in 6 days as in his days, meaning 6,000 years, because a day.